Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. I was thinking along these lines, but the whole idea is go back and review things that are foundational, things that we should know, things that where our Christianity is built upon, and we need to do this periodically. So here I am, back at doing foundational things, reminded of all this through a devotional I read this morning by a guy named Prince. It's Hebrews 8, verse 10 through 12. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds. I will write them on their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizen, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all will know me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. There you go. There's a few I wills. I was listening to another guy talk, and he had heard a minister speaking, and he said, and it started off something like this. God tells us things. And he goes, that's just the way he said it. He says, I was down south, and I was in a Baptist church. He says, I was startled because the guy got up and said, God tells us things. And when God tells us, we need to listen. We need to listen when God speaks to us. And he says, I was going, oh yeah, I like that. And I said, well, that's because you're not from down south. It's normal down there. But we need to hear it, and sometimes we need to hear it said in a different way than what we normally hear. God says, God's telling us. He doesn't need our permission to speak to us in those kind of tones once in a while to get our attention. He said this, I am God, for God will be merciful. God will be merciful to that nation, to God's people. He will be merciful. And that mercy means He will be kind toward us. He will be kind toward us Christians. Whoa. Here is an almighty God, and we've all heard the song or the stories about sinners in the hands of an angry God. Well, guess what? We're forgiven. So we're no longer sinners in the hands of an angry God. We're His children, and He takes us by the hand and He walks us through our life. He is with us from now on. Our God is no longer angry at us. Our God will no longer judge us. Our God will forget, and we're going to get to that part. He will forget. He will put that aside. He will have only mercy for us. He will show us only kindness. He will show us only goodness in His life toward us. He is life, and we need to be in the presence of life. And so we need to spend more time with Him as much as possible. In prayer, in reading, in thinking about Him, we need to seek Him out. I was talking to one guy, and he said, you know, I've never been around anybody who said, God, I want to be in Your presence. And I was like, really? This is our God, and He's our Savior and our Father. And you've never heard anybody, any minister say, God, let us be in Your presence. And he said, no. And, well, guy, start saying it. We want to be in Your presence, God. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Every once in a while, just say, God, I want to be where You are. I want to be in Your presence. And He will have mercy on us. He will show us that kindness that when we were sinners, He did not have to show us other than saying, if you'll accept Christ, I will have mercy upon you. And the good news is our failures. Remember, He said He would have mercy toward us. Our sins means failures, and that's exactly what it means. Our sins, our failures, the word really does mean just that. Our self-efforts that end in failure, He will not hold it against us. All of our wrongs, He will not hold against us. And the word iniquities there, if your Bible uses iniquity, our iniquities are also thrown into that. So there's self-effort that ends in failure, self-effort where we make mistakes, self-effort, and we get it wrong. He doesn't hold that, but He goes one step farther and says, your iniquities. And that is this, and we need to get this idea in our head, this revelation in our head. That means when we violate His standards, He doesn't hold that against us either. When the most pure being, God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, originally started off and said, I will not have sin in my presence. And now He says, even though you mess up and you fail, and even though you break my standards, I won't hold it against you. I will, and that's this other part where it says, I will remember your sins no more. A lot of people get in and try to make that a theological idea there. It's really simple. It's not that God will forget in the sense of He has it, it's gone, and therefore He is no longer perfectly able to recall. But it means this: God chooses not ever to recall that thing against you. He will not dwell upon it. He will never bring it up in His mind again. He will never ever pull up something against us. He will never pull up our past sins. He'll never pull up our failures, our iniquities. He won't pull up against the fact that we violated His laws or His standards. He is saying, I will not hold any of this ever against you, and I will not keep trotting this stuff out in front of you again. And that is a promise because of the New Testament. And it's interesting because actually, in the Old Testament, they had a day of remembrance. They had a day of remembrance in the Old Testament where they actually would once a year, it's called Yom Kippur, they would get together and they would all remember their sins and they would all confess their sins, and then they would have these this time where they would say, oh God, please forgive us our sins. And they believed during that time of the Old Testament that God would decide whether to smite you and knock you dead or whether to let you live or what kind of punishment you would have for your sins. And He says, I'm not that way towards you. He is saying, I am not choosing to remember your faults against you. Quit accusing yourself. When you have said, I did wrong, forgive me, get over it, move on. Don't keep playing that over and over again, and do not let yourself condemn you. If I, God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, don't condemn you, then where do you get off condemning yourself? And actually, one of the sins that's listed in the Bible, and I'd have to look it up, one of the sins is the sin of depression, of beating yourself down after God said, you're blessed. Don't call God a liar. Don't say, oh, my life is miserable. Ah, God don't like me. He said, I like you, and I don't remember your sins. Quit calling God a liar and say, He has blessed me, and even though I did something wrong or I failed, I asked Him to forgive me, and He did it. I am so blessed. I've got a God that likes me. I've got a God that's there in my corner all the time. I've got a God. Yes. Most people don't have a God. They don't think about God as God. They think God is like a vending machine, and all we've got to do is just ask Him and drop a few spiritual quarters in, and He will give us what we want. But that's not the idea. Our God is God. God. I can't even say it right. It needs to be God. Hey, that's better. God. Our God's God. And when He tells us something, we need to listen. We need to pay attention. And He says, I am never going to condemn you. After you accepted Jesus Christ, His sacrifice is so perfect. Once you do that, I will never permit myself to recall anything that you did wrong. Never. There is never a day that He will do it. There is never a minute. He will not even consider recalling what you did for 1 second. And that's what it's in verse 10 talking about. This is the covenant. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God. There is never a time, and He puts His good stuff within us. And He says that we don't have to, this is the verse 10 and 11, we do not have to go around trying to correct each other all the time. We don't have to say, hey, you need to know this. But when it says that He puts it in our hearts and we will know Him, it doesn't mean that we can't study. It doesn't mean we shouldn't study. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't come and listen to a good minister. We can hire one of those. It means that you are to pay attention to what's said. And when you hear, the idea of know is you will mentally see it and understand it. It's like our phrase, oh, I see what you mean. I see. Aha, I got it. So when we're listening to the Word of God and someone's explaining it to us, we have those moments, and sometimes it's not here. It might be later while we're driving a truck or while we're sitting at the house doing something, fishing, whatever, and it goes, ah, I got it. I have got it. And that's those aha moments that Christians are to have. They are there for us, and God is saying, my Spirit is within you. Aha! Now you get it. Live your life according to those aha moments. When God makes a promise to you, don't doubt God. And these are promises. I will never remember your sins or iniquities again. I will be there to teach you. I will do this for you. Aha! We can either hinder it, aha, or we can go against it and hasten the aha moments. We can either be cooperative with God and expose ourselves to His words, to prayer, to meditation, to fellowship with other Christians. Yeah, listening to Christians, you can learn a lot. And we can go, ah! Or you can hinder this process because you can say, I don't want to hear the Word of God. I don't want to hang out with Christians. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do that. And He still says, I won't hold your iniquity against you, and I'm still in your heart. And I will make sure that someday, somehow, you will come around and understand this. I've heard of other people who were Christians. They called on the Lord when they were younger. And then they just kind of drifted away and they lived their own life. And then as time went by, they said, I'm in deep here. I need help. Aha! I'll ask God. Just like the prodigal. Aha! I've got a dad, and I will go to my dad. Aha! And those people come back around, and it just starts, lights start going off in their brains, and they're going, I get this. He was kind toward me, and He still is kind toward me. He's still my dad. He still loves me, and He still cares for me. Even though I wandered away all those years ago, He was right there with me all the time, and now I see all these things that He protected me from, even as I was trying to go my own way. Aha! God does not condemn us, but He will always be there to show us mercy. Our God said these things. These are promises. Do not let the doubt come in your mind over these ideas that I'm saying. God said, I will be your God. Your God. Very personal. You have a personal God. You have the Father of Jesus Christ, and He is God. And He's your Father. How cool is that? He says also, I will have mercy. He's not out there to beat you. He's out there to help you. And He chooses to do this. He chooses to do this. And He chooses never to remind you of anything that you've done wrong. Ever. He's always there going, come on, we can do better. We can build. We can go. We can grow. We can accomplish. He's saying, I'm telling you this because you need to know it and tamp it down inside your little heads that this is the reality, even though your mind's going, no, 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 this can't be. And I've heard people, I've read scriptures to people, and they go, well, that's what it says, but that just can't be true. Whoa! This is the Word of God, yes? Well, yes, it's the Word of God. And we're supposed to believe what it says, yes? Yes, we're supposed to believe what it says. And it says this, well, now... Okay, let's go through this again. This is the Word of God, yes. And keep pounding away and pounding away. And one guy I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, I've known him for 20 years, and he says, you've been trying to pound that in my head for 20 years. Well, I got it. I'm going, yeah, 20 years. You got it, buddy. But he does have it, and it's a good thing. So God is always there. This guy had trusted Christ years ago, and it's in his head. And now he comes to the place and says, this is what it says, therefore it's true. He will have mercy. He will have mercy on us. And he said, I moved into you and I am going to teach you. I am going to lead you. I am going to guide you. I am. So let's go back to the beginning of it. God is trying to tell us something. And our responsibility is to hear what He said and accept it as truth. And say, I can build my life on this. Even when it doesn't feel it. He didn't say you have to feel it. He said, I told you. Boy, when my mom said it that way, I told you. I was usually in trouble. But when God says, I told you, to us, it's not. He's trying to emphatically communicate to us His mercy, His love of us. He rejoices in us. He's so glad to have us as part of His family. He's looked forward to this for all eternity past, just think, before He even created the heavens and the earth, He already knew the people who would accept Him. And there's Scripture that points that out. He knew us before the foundations of the world was laid. He had this, I am so looking forward to the people and the members of Glenwood Church. I am looking forward thousands of years, and I'm going to get to know these people, and they're going to be my kids, and they're going to be my people. Think on that for a while. Aha! I'm His, and He's waited, and He rejoices in the fact that I am His kid. He rejoices in the fact that we trusted in His work by sending Jesus and Jesus' accomplishment on the cross. He rejoices in that, and He's glad to show us mercy. And He's made promises to us. And when He tells us stuff, we need to pay attention and then build our lives around what He says and not try to force Him to build His ways in life around us. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. Give us a lot more of these aha moments. I've been at this for almost 50 years, narrowing in on it, God. And I still look forward to every time I go, wow, look at that. God, give us all a bunch of wow moments this week. Help us to take those moments and to put them in our hearts, to recognize them, to think about them, and really make them the realities of which we build our life upon. Father, don't let the devil or the birds snatch them away like that one parable talks about. Help us to be good soil so it will grow, the word, the seed will grow in us, and we will have a full and bountiful life because of what You're doing in our lives. All glory and honor to You. In Jesus' name, we praise You and thank You and honor You.